Salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, man, deep sigh, kind of a deep sigh this morning. I want you to know something. Hey, we're picking up some new folks out there every day. I'm noticing you guys are in there. Timmy, welcome in there, Timmy. I don't know where your cat is today, but good to have you in here, man. We're picking up new folks every day. Something going on, something really, really going on. And I want to encourage you this right now, right up front, so that you'll have no doubt where I stand. I believe we're going to win. I believe we're going to win. And that one of the reasons that we are in such desperate straits is because we're so far behind in the ball game. If you ever watch a football game where one team gets way behind and then they begin to frantically play and then they start to catch up, and there's been some unbelievable comebacks in football games. Momentum is quite a force, brothers, quite a force. And thank God for the cheating in the election, because it fought us to get down and dirty and start to fight. And we saw it. And the corruption was really, really exposed to us. You pick the day. See, some of you would say, when was Donald Trump elected? Was he elected in 2016? So Donald Trump was elected in 2016, and people would say, wow, that was the beginning of the awakening. That was it, the beginning of the awakening. And it was, to a degree. It was. But even while Donald Trump was president of the United States and things seem to be somewhat continuing to get better, the left was nefariously working behind the scenes. They'd worked so long, and they'd dug so deep, they'd built so deep. They were so widespread, they were so infiltrated in every area of what President Trump called the swamp. None of us had any idea. And we didn't even understand that the swamp actually ran even down into your local community. Somebody go and give me a thumbs up. It's okay to do it. But the swamp, when you get elected to political office, it is your first initiation into the swamp. Maybe you're only in up to your ankles. Maybe you're only in up to your knees. But we found out that those who are part of the elected official class are the swamp. They are the swamp. We know this, don't we, that even locally, we find out that people are starting to go to the city council meetings. I think of JR going to commissioners meetings. And they can't believe the stuff that's going on right in their own local community. Say, Joe, the commissioner, city council, Joe, I've known you since high school. What the hell's going on, Joe? What's happened to you? It's a swamp. It's swamp. And even though public servants are supposed to be public servants, benefit has its privileges. We're living in a time and in a place where the deep state has, in fact, its tentacles clear down into our local communities. So we're beginning to see that. We just have to pull back a little bit, and we look at what's going on with our public education system. And most of us look in our public education system, since they closed the schools down, started doing virtual education, virtual teaching. People began to say, I didn't know they were teaching that. I didn't know they were teaching that. Harriet, did you know they were teaching that in the schools? And people, for the first time, their eyes were open to exactly what was going on. They said, this is crazy. It's crazy. Some of them were listening to the Zoom meetings that they're having. And so people began to waken up, say, man, there's something crazy going on in our schools. Now, it's been going on forever, right? But we haven't been worrying so much about it because the Republicans are in charge. And then we watched the Republican president of the United States get deserted by his own party. And we realized, many of us, some are still waking up, slow to wake up, but many of us looked at it and said, my God, that guy's standing alone. I'm a Trump guy. I'm not a Republican anymore. I'm a Trump guy. And a great awakening began to happen slowly underground, especially as he got impeached once and he got impeached again and saw that his team didn't even fight for him. That's what is amazing. Let me make an illustration. I'm on one of those. Stay with me a second. When I have trouble at Sky High, people come from everywhere to help. It's not like I I can't believe the people who call and help, and some send financial assistance, some come over and fix things. It's amazing. Why? Because we're part of a team. And they feel ownership in what we're, at least I hope you do, feel ownership in what it is that we're trying to do. And you look at what happens with President Donald Trump. He gets impeached by the other team, and his own team doesn't even fight for him. They don't even fight for him. They don't even come and fix the sink for him. In fact, they throw the sink at him. So what's going on here? Something crazy going on. Yeah, there's a swamp. There's a deep, deep state. And as George Carlin said years and years ago, it's a big, big club, and you ain't in it. I'm not in it. And we're beginning to waken up and understand that. So here's where we are. We got behind in the first quarter of this game, about 48-0. They scored seven quick touchdowns and missed an extra point. And all of a sudden, they're ahead of us 48-0. And then we finally score a touchdown. So, oh, wow. And then all of a sudden, the momentum shifts. See, that's where we are, friends. When Donald Trump didn't get elected and seven, however many million of us walked to Washington, D.C., there were those people saying, hey, something's wrong here. I want my country back. It wasn't that they were about, get my brain to work here. Donald Trump, it wasn't really about that. It was about nobody helping him. We saw it. We supported what he was doing. And we saw that nobody was helping him. So we said, I'm going to go to D.C. I'm going to go there and I'm going to let him know I support him. I support him. And we saw that the Republicans didn't. We saw the crap that went on January 6th. And we finally started to get in the game. So Joe Biden's been president of the United States. I think today is day 200. Day 200, Joe Biden has been president of the United States. And so we've been fighting for about 200 days. Maybe a little bit more, but really, really, really actively fighting for about 200 days. That's not that long. I'm here to tell you today that the momentum is about to shift. The left is so boxed in, they have nowhere to go. Now, you're not going to hear this much place. You're going to hear doom and gloom and, oh, woe is me and yada, 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 yada. No. I'm here to tell you, there's a big momentum shift coming. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know exactly what it is. But I have this urgency in my heart that we're going to win. Now, I posted on our website today. This is a flea flicker Friday. I really am going to try to make it. I'm going to say this because it's my show and I can. If you've missed the last five shows, you got to go back and watch every one of them. They have been, my goodness, steak upon meat upon meat upon meat upon meat upon meat. Last five or six shows that we've done. If you've missed them, go back and see them. Because if you've missed them, you're not able to keep up where the rest of us are gone. And so I want to encourage all of you that I'm having Jared post three videos. They're not up there yet, okay? They're not up there yet. They will be up there. There's an interview that the Health Ranger did with Judy Mikovits. Are they up there yet, Spencer? He couldn't have got them up there that quick. No way. Okay. A video that the Health Ranger did with Judy Mikovits. It was one of those. I stopped. I play them really fast. I play them like 1.75 or 2. I played them. And Judy Mikovits, I actually stopped it about three times and said, holy crap. About three different times in the midst of that interview with the information she was given. I'm going to get into something. I wanted to make this a flea flicker Friday because there's a lot that I think that we need to discuss. We need to talk about things we've done in the past. But I got a couple other things. Folks, trust me. Bear with me a second. I'm on a different computer here. Okay, can I give you some good news? I think it's good news. I've been invited to speak at Bard's Fest, and I think I talked to you about that the other day. I did an interview yesterday with Scott Kesterson, who's the guy who runs. Now I can't find where I'm supposed to be. Oh, there it is. I'll forget that stuff. And I had a great interview with Scott Kesterson yesterday, and invited me to speak at Bard's Fest, which is in Missouri. And we'll get to August 26th, 27th, 27th, 4 day, big 4 day event. Because I believe in my heart, as Doug Hagman has called me America's coach, and I've laughed at it for a long time. But I believe there's, in the battle that we're in, I believe there's something to it. And the world needs to hear what it is we're saying here, folks. And I believe Lord's opened up some doors for that to be able to happen. So I don't know. I got so much. Spencer, do me a favor. Go to Matthew 24. And then I'm just going to open. Jeff's already wants to talk. I'm going to open this up and let some of you come in here, okay? Last night's Hagman report. Did I say that? I didn't get there, did I? Doug Hagman. Clay Clark on Doug Hagman last night. Clay Clark, who's organized the Free America Now, Free America, whatever that's called, his America tours. It was unbelievable on Doug Hagman last night. And he was on with Steve Quayle. Doug Hagman, Steve Quayle, and Clay Clark. It was electric. You can find that. If you get a chance, you can find that. If you feel like I'm not in stride, I am in stride. I'm just running about seven different directions right now. So just bear with me, okay? There. Thanks, Spencer. Spencer's got it up there. Hey friends, listen, you can, a lot of these things, when I mow my grass, when I paint, whenever I do, I put my headphones on and I listen to these things. I know some of you are busy. I know you have jobs. Listen to it on the way to work. Listen to it on the way coming home. Listen to it on your break. There's such great information in some of these things that I just encourage you to be able to do that. All right, cool. Hey, Doc Jen, I went to the heart doctor yesterday. I got that blood panel. I'll get that thing out to you here as soon as they get it to me. Finally, I go to my heart doctor, and he's a good guy. And I could have told him what he told me. It was amazing. I could have told him what he told me. At the end of the appointment, I could have told him what he told me. One change of medicine a little bit. I mean, that's all they know to do, isn't it? Change medicine. That's really all they know to do. I could have told him everything he told me. I could have told him. In fact, I could have told him some things he needed to be told, if you know what I'm talking about, right? I walked into the hospital and it's Nazi central, masks, temperatures. Oh my goodness. Crazy, crazy. So let's go to Matthew 24. Pull that up here for me, Spence. Clay Clark, give me 5 minutes, guys. And then I'm going to I'll turn it over to you. I can't get it on my screen. I'm having all kinds of trouble here this morning. I should be able to click on that. Wait a minute, Spencer, where are you? Get that up on my screen for me. Let me scroll down here. Go ahead, Jeff. You want to come in here? Go in here real quick. While I get this up here.
Coach, remember when I said I went to school board meeting 2 weeks ago? Four. Then next school board meeting, all four of them people want their 3 minutes too. So yesterday I'm standing at the car lot. Some guy pulls in. He gets out of his car, walks up. He's got a book in his hand. He looks at me and he says, hey, I was going to go to the school board meeting a couple weeks ago. I pulled it up online and your video's on there. You're on YouTube. I'm like, what? I don't know how it gets. I don't have any idea how that got me. He said, I watched that because they let me speak 8 minutes and 41 seconds. And he's standing there with his Trump hat on and he's got the book in his hand is Mark Levin, American Marxism. He said, have you read this? I said, no, but I was just going to Walmart today and buy that. Because he's got a section in there on the schools. This guy said, I'm coming to the next meeting and I'm going to speak too. I'm like, great. And I said, hey, we talk more. I said, told him about your show. I said, turn it on tomorrow morning. So he might be listening today, but out of the blue, here he comes.
They're everywhere, Jeff. Jeff, I always salute your efforts at evangelism, brother. I want you to know I think highly of you for everything you try to do, buddy. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You're always out there doing it. Hey folks, listen, Spencer, I'm gonna do a quick one on you, Spencer. Put up. Where is it? I'm all over the place today. I'm sorry, Fred. Stay with me. Hey Spencer, go to the stuff I sent you and click on second thing down. Friends of the Original Constitution. I don't know why I'm having so much technical issues here today. Folks, I'm gonna. Lord, help me here, Lord. There's a 700 trillion. I'm not making it up. Don't laugh, okay? Friends of the Original Constitution. Is it up on the screen? Because I'm on the wrong daggone page if it is. Okay. Good. There it is. Friends of the Original Constitution. I watched this video today. Folks, look at this. Don't laugh. Please do not laugh. Do not laugh. Remember what I told you? Thank you, Lord. Remember I told you that we're in a catch-up momentum? We're catching up because we didn't even practice. We didn't even have a team till they screwed Trump. We didn't have a team. So we've been spending 200 days just putting a team together. We have some of the most brilliant minds and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is at work. Our team has yet to take the marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed the day the music died? It's taken us a while to get organized. This video, Friends of the Original Constitution. You got to watch this. This is one of the things. I'm not going to play it now. It's long. It's 17 minutes. $500 trillion lawsuit has been filed against the federal government and 140 monopolists via our constitutional convention in court. We are on the offense. And you got to hear this, man. You have got to hear this. And so they want to restore, not make a new constitution, restore the constitution. This is exciting. Okay. Listen, we got some reinforcements now for the first time. They're coming in. They're going to start playing on our team. They've been out there. We've been trusting Lindsey Graham. We've been trusting Jim Jordan. We've been trusting Franklin Graham. They ain't been doing anything. So I'm sorry, I'm having technical issues back here. Oh, my goodness. One of those days, huh? So we've been trusting guys that don't even know how to play, who won't play. Jim Jordan, he's an old wrestler. You'd think he'd be tough as nails. And can't get him to play. Oh, he talks about it. Can't get him to play. Why? Well, because he's part of the swamp. And even if he does want to fight, guys around him won't let him fight. Right? With me? Okay, so Friends of the Constitution. I want you to, I haven't signed it yet, okay, because I haven't had enough time to do a lot of research. But this, go right now, Spencer, stick this in the chat so that people during the course of this day will get a chance to listen to this. A $500 trillion lawsuit. It's pretty awesome, pretty awesome. All right, cool. Now, Spencer, let's go back to Matthew 24. Silver, you got those dulcet tones ready to go here, bud? You always do. I know you do.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now listen. I got some of this from Clay Clark last night. I want to confess, but it really hit me, and I thought I have to share this morning. Hey, friends. If you don't think you're going to win, you ain't going to win. And I don't care what the scoreboard says. I don't care what it says. There's always time for a comeback. And when I was coaching, I would always tell the guys, no, we haven't already won, Michelle. No, we haven't already won. We haven't. That's a lie. We win. Maybe when I'm in heaven, I won. We haven't won now. They're trying to molest little children. We haven't won. What do you mean we've won already? We haven't won. We haven't won nothing. We're losing. Hey, we're losing. Look at the scoreboard.
The cross gives us victory.
Don't even go there. We're losing. Right here, right now, we're losing.
Don't look at the scoreboard. Huh? That's going to distract you.
Not distracting me. It's making me work harder. It's making me change my game plan. When we got behind 4 touchdowns, I couldn't run off tackle all the time because I didn't have enough time to catch up. We had to start doing some trick plays. We had to start throwing bombs. We had to start causing turnovers. I'm not sitting here looking at the scoreboard. I'm looking at the scoreboard. Amen. I'm looking at the scoreboard and saying, somebody better up their damn game. That's what I'm saying. We win in the end. Give me a break. So I broke my thought. It's all right. I'm hammering it. And what's paralyzed the church is the idea that we've won already. We haven't won. How can you look out the window and say we've won? How can you say that? We haven't won. We're not winning now. But we're going to. We're going to. And we're going to win in the end. You know how we're going to win in the end? We're going to win in the end because we're going to start winning now. And if you start winning now, then you win in the end. We're making up lost ground. Golly, I love you, Michelle. I hate that attitude.
Amen.
Because my God is bigger than the problem.
I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I hate that attitude. Hey, look at me. We are losing. But we're going to win. We're going to win. We're losing. But we're going to win. And so Clay Clark pointed this out last night. See, we want to read this, and all of a sudden we're ready to throw in the towel because, boy, it sure is happening around us, right? I'm going to trust Silver. Silver, I promise you this. I'm going to interrupt a little bit. And I said this is going to be Flea Flicker Friday in a minute. I got to get this off my chest, okay? So, Silver, just because this is it. This is the end times chapter. Here it is. Oh, Coach, look right there. It is. Oh, no, this also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers. When did they write that? Know this also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, proud, blasphemy, disbelieving, without. I think they wrote that about 2,000 years ago. Were they winning then? Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Silver. Hey, Joe, be ready. I'm going to interrupt.
Gotcha. Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple.
Hey, get out of the church, first of all. Go ahead.
And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple.
Oh, they wanted to take him back in. By the way, this is from the Lord. This is from Clay Clark. They wanted to drag him back into the temple, didn't they? Jesus wanted to go out and do some street ministry. And they said, no, no, come on, let's go back. Let's go back inside the church here.
And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things?
Stop right there. Don't you guys see this? And how many people do you hang around don't see it? They don't see it. Oh my goodness, they're trying to build a physical building. And Jesus said, get out of that building. Can't you guys see what's going on? Can't you guys understand this? Go ahead, Joe.
Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
And by the way, that happened. Didn't that happen, Silver?
70 AD.
70 AD, there was not one stone left upon another that was not thrown down. They destroyed that place, man. They destroyed it. Jesus told them they were going to. He said, you dummies, you can't even see what's going on. When is this, Joe? When is Jesus talking to these guys? 70 years later, he's warning them. Boys, if you don't get things right in that temple, that sucker's coming down. There ain't going to be not one stone left standing here. Not one. Keep going.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
Okay, now look, I point this out, and some people take issue with it. The disciples came to him privately. This was not a public exhortation to everyone. He took them alone privately. Can I tell you why? When I was the football coach, I told my assistant coaches something I didn't tell the players. The assistant coaches knew a lot more about what was going on than the players did. So Jesus pulls his assistant coaches together. And he says, okay, what's the first thing he tells them, Joe, in verse 4?
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
Okay, time out a minute. Now, is this a warning just about the end times? Is Jesus just warning them, don't be deceived about the end times? Or is he talking about in general? The first rule of thumb that our Savior laid out to his assistant coaches was, listen, hey, boys, verify everything. Trust, but verify. Take heed that no man is going to deceive you, because the guy who the hater of our souls is first and foremost deceptive. He operates in deception. He twists things. Look at what's going on with COVID and that whole mess. It's all a bunch of lies. And let me ask you something, Silver. Are men being deceived? Didn't Jesus say, be careful out there? 2,000 years ago, he said, let no man deceive you. Because why? That's the way the enemy operates. Oh, boy, I wish I could say what I was really thinking. Go ahead, Joe. Hey, hang on. Hey. This isn't just for today. Sorry. It's just in for today. He just said that temple right there, that thing's going to be torn down. And by the way, before that thing gets torn down, let me tell you something. Oh, you better take heed that no man deceives you, right? Okay. So ask yourself this. Is Jesus talking to these disciples about the end times, the end of the world? Or is he talking about the present time in which you're standing? I don't know. I'm just asking a question there, right? And so what's going to happen?
He's talking about 40 years, Coach, 30 to 70 AD.
Go ahead. Keep going.
For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars.
Time out, Joe. Folks, listen. It doesn't say, and they shall hear of wars. Because if he's talking about 2,000 years, he wouldn't say you. I ain't going to be here in 2,000 years. They would say, hey, coach, your family, or the people who are alive then, those people, they shall hear of wars. You with me? But Joe, that's not what he said, is it? He said, you're going to hear wars. You. They said, they came to him and said, hey, what are the signs? How are we going to know? They want to know for themselves. They're the assistant coaches. They come to Jesus and say, hey, what's going on here, Pops? Tell, what's going on? He said, okay, sit down. He said, I'm going to tell you this. First of all, there's going to be a lot of deception coming. Now listen, in the time in which they're living, right? Go ahead, Joe.
And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars.
Hear any of that today? Go ahead.
See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Wow.
For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows.
Wait a minute, Joe, is that the end? I thought that was the end. He said, no, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. It's just the beginning, boys. It's just the beginning. Now ask yourself, folks, if what we're about to read here now happened in the lives of these disciples. Keep going, John.
Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted.
Did they deliver up the disciples, Joe?
Yes.
The apostles, huh?
Yes.
All of them died a violent death, did they not? Except John on the island of Patmos, right? They cooked him in oil. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. You. Go ahead.
And shall kill you.
You.
And ye shall you. Be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
Nations mean ethnicities. You understand? They couldn't be hated in America. There wasn't even an America yet. All nation people groups. Who is? You Christians? You Christians, you're going to be hated by everybody, you Christians. Those of you who are part of our kingdom. Go ahead.
And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another.
Well, be not deceived, Joe.
And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many.
Is that going on today? Yeah. Was it going on then? Yeah. Who's he talking to? Us or them? Talking to them. Now, does it apply today? Is the same thing going on? I'm not a theologian, but I can look out my head, out my window, see something screwed up. Men are becoming women, women are becoming, yeah, that's something. Yeah. Yeah. I said, yeah, they're going to deceive many. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Wow.
But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Well, who's he talking to, Joe?
The survivors.
Yeah, he's talking to those disciples sitting right in front of him, isn't he? So this is not just going to happen to you, coaches, my 12 assistant coaches. It's not going to happen to you. It's going to happen to everybody playing on the team. Not everybody's going to make it. Huh? Not all going to make it. But the ones who endure to the end, same shall be saved. Because listen, they weren't winning right then. I'm not winning now. Folks, we're not winning now. Come on. We're not winning now. Joe, go ahead.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let it understand. Then let them.
Hang on, folks. Listen, this is me now. I think he's talking to the disciples, because this was going to happen in their own life, and it did. And it did. Now, do we want to futurize this and say this is how it's going to be at the end times? Well, that's what we've done. And I'm not here to gore that ox today. But they're showing what happened in the first century. Could this be happening again? Could this be happening again? Near the end of the days, right? Because this was clearly the end of the days for these guys, for these 12 guys he's talking to. They make it a little bit farther, but they all die violent deaths. He warned them, right? And then what does he say? He says, listen, coaches, tell everybody else, here's what they got to be, here's what they, because this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay, then what's he telling them, Joe, verse 15? Go to 16. Go to 16. I'm sorry.
Okay. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains.
Run for your life. Go ahead.
Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house.
Save your life, buddy. Run for your life.
Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days.
And what days? And that day that's coming, man. He told him it's coming. Not one stone going to be left upon another.
But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore?
Yeah, hang on, Joe. Who are they going to deceive? Who are they going to deceive if it were possible? It must be possible.
The elect.
The very elect. The very elect. He said, behold, I told you this before. Now listen, I'm not getting into eschatology. Okay? But these guys didn't throw in the towel. They didn't say we win in the end. They went about their business of expanding the gospel of the kingdom. So here we sit in 2021, and much of American believism is none of this stuff's going to happen to us. None of this stuff's going to happen to us because we're going to be out of here. Right? There's nothing new under the sun, my friends. There's nothing. Is there a rapture? There might be a rapture. There's going to be a lot of hell to pay. Sorry. Going to be, my opinion. And then he who endures to the end is going to be saved. Wow. Oh, I walked all over a bunch of stuff today. But I think it's important for me to say that for some of you to get your eyes out of the rapture clouds. Down here. Things are going on here. Things are happening right now. We are putting together a team. We are right now, we are in the midst of a comeback. The greatest comeback in the history of Christianity is happening right in front of us now while we're watching the scoreboard saying, boy, I wish that clock would run down because we're going to win when that clock. As soon as that clock runs to zero, we win. That's stupid. If I thought that the clock going to zero made sure we won, I wouldn't do anything. I'd sit around and do everything I could and make sure nobody called any timeouts or no penalty flags, nothing to stop the clock. Nobody ran out of bounds because I want that clock to run down because I want to win. I can't win until the end. Can't win until then. I want to win now. I want to win now. Okay. Come on in.
I was burning. Sorry, I'm on the phone. Can't raise my hand. So
that's all right. That's
but
all right.
The church has been, look, going back to the story of the Holy War, I've talked about this, so that In the end, when the church is ready to go out and fight for the Lord will come and join them. Kind of like, you know, like you tell your kid to clean your room. If he starts cleaning his room, he might go help him clean his room. But he's got to get out there and take the initiative.
Good point.
Hasn't been raising players. He's been raising cheerleaders. The cheerleaders aren't going to win the game, coach.
Not only that, our cheerleaders have been telling us not to fight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so why are we not going to get fight? You want to fight because people might hate you, and there's a sense of being hated because we win in the end. No. I win when I leave this body. That's when I win. Ain't no end.
Yeah. Kevin Van Story's been posting, you know, the armor of God, praying that, and that's so key. It's like, don't you know this is a war? Okay, this isn't like go and have a pep rally. This is a war. We got to fight.
Amen. Okay. So, Michelle, you come on in and you tell me how I'm twisting things. Would you do that for me real quick?
Or is it? I never said we mustn't fight. I don't like the fact that we want to fight with guns and swords and knives and killing people. I don't agree that's how God would fight battles. And I don't like the reference that we always want to go to the Old Testament and say, yes, look, they were demon infested. So it's a whole new country landscape situation. It is pre-Calvary. So we have Calvary, we have the cross, we've got victory over all of the enemy's devices. So we walk in victory. There is a big difference to fight for victory and to fight from victory. And God's been teaching me for 15 years, change your perspective. We do not fight to claim anything. We take back which is already ours. That's why we've got the keys. That's why we've got the authority. So fighting for territory you already have is stupid. We just have to go take our territory back. That's an action. And I agree, we have to take it back. But we don't fight for it. We take it in the authority of Jesus Christ. There's no fighting for it. It's taking what is already yours.
That's because you don't have a good conception of what it means to fight.
Boom.
That's your perspective, and I respect that.
Okay, amen. Cool.
Thank you.
Come on in, Craig.
All right, Coach. This is where you got to get into the technicalities of what the scriptures are saying, what the words have meaning, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, and this is a common problem, I believe, and I would just encourage those in the queue and those listening to see this for yourself. Matthew 24 and Luke 21 are talking about an end of an age, but two different events. And the reason that I'm saying this is you have to look very precisely at the words. Jesus was teaching at the temple during the day, but he retreated to Mount Olives at night. So that's why you go in verse 3 in Matthew 24, it says that the disciples approached him privately. There was only four of them there. Chuck Misler does really good teaching on this. And if you look at the words, what they're saying, they're asking, what's the end of the age? That's not like the end of days. It's like,
yes, it's like, amen,
it's the
Craig.
End of a period.
Amen.
The end of a time, right?
Yep.
Just like when Jesus came. So then when you go to Matthew, and we won't make a, you know, we could talk 20 minutes on this.
Right.
If you go to Luke 21, Jesus is talking in the temple because that he's having this discussion about the two women's mites, all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
And he goes and he references some of the things that are here, you know, famines and earthquakes. But then what he says here, he says, is when you see Jerusalem in Matthew, he talks about the abomination in the temple. But in Luke, he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the armies, that's the 70 AD. Okay. Because that's what they did. That's what the Romans do. They siege mound the Jerusalem and they starved them out, which is the technique that they're using on humanity now.
Right now. Nothing new under the sun. That's right. Nothing new under the sun.
So these are two different times, but people get them, they correlate them as the same event.
Amen. I'm not, I wasn't equipped to get into this morning, really, but it's critical, folks. It's critical. And listen, I don't like to make enemies. And you don't have to agree with me, all right? But as somebody once said to me, shake your head, your eyes are stuck. Where did you learn what you know? Where did you learn that? And then I can say, well, you know, I've been studying this for 17 years, and this is the conclusion I came to. God bless you. Somebody else has been studying it for 17 years, and they came to a different conclusion. How can that possibly happen in the scriptures? Other than, as we've talked about before, paradigm, perspective. What are you reading into what you're reading? And so I'm not here to start a fight over end time eschatology. That's not what I'm saying at all. This whole thing started because I was saying to you, we're finally building an army. We're finally building a team. We're finally starting to push back. We're maybe going to win. We got some of the world's greatest experts who are finally standing up and speaking out. They're on our side. We now have facts and evidence that we never had before. Yeah, we don't have control of the airways. Yeah, they're censoring it. Yeah, the devil's running. But hey, listen, truth wins. Truth wins. This is going to get out. We are in the midst of the greatest spiritual revolution in the history of America, if not the whole world. It is coming in the midst of what we're in now, folks. I'm telling you, it's coming right now. Because even as lost as our friends seem to be, I'm sorry, I'm having a head. as lost as our friends seem to be, they're waking up. They're waking up, folks. They are waking up. But see, here's part of the problem with the waking up. It goes against so much of what they've conditioned themselves to believe. Where's Doc Jen when I need her? Where's Doc Jen? The idea of what? First belief? What is that, Doc Jen? That first thought comes into you and that gets hardened into you and it's hard to get away from it. We have, all of us, have been hardened in our first truth, our first premise. We've locked onto that and we will not release that come hell or high water. And
they're, hey, both coach.
They're both coming. Hell and high water are both coming. But we're stuck in a paradigm where we cannot, no matter how much we try, get out from under that paradigm. And all I would say to all of you out there is just one time, read the scriptures without putting your beliefs in there.
Hey, Coach, could I just follow up with one thing?
Yeah.
Because I think it's a good thing. If you were God, let's just say God's our coach, and we're up there and we're in a baseball game, and you go up and it's your turn to bat, would God rather have you just sit there, hold that bat and get striked out? Or would he rather have you swing, whether you hit the ball or you didn't? At least you tried.
Yes. Right?
And that's what we need to be. When I see you, that's what I see. I might have a different view of eschatology and all this, but when I got to thinking about it, I'm like, well, you know, hey, swing, you never know.
Hey, Craig, what if I told you this as you're walking to the plate? Hey, be careful. He throws a lot of curveballs.
Hey, Coach.
It would change your approach at the bat, wouldn't it? He throws a lot of curveballs.
That's good, right.
Good.
So greater is he that's in you than he who's in the world.
Amen. Amen. Come on in now, Vinny. Then Randy, then Tom.
Okay, so the first time on the show, I'm actually going to plug something. Okay, guys?
That's a lie. That's not the first time you've ever plugged anything.
Plug something, like endorse something. Okay, now this is One Free Nation. It's a new service. It's a free speech venue for people, right? But it's being stifled. The Google, it's all being covered up. So go to this address, guys. It's wp1.onefreenation.org. Okay?
No. Nobody wrote that down. They didn't even have a pencil paper with you.
Of course they didn't, because they weren't prepared. So re-listen to this show.
Put it in the chat. Re-listen
to this show, okay? This whole week, just like Coach said, re-listen. This is a banner week of shows. Now let me throw in about what we were just talking about. Listen, Jesus tricked him. He tricked him back into subjugation. Jesus is the Lamb. He was the blood of the Lamb. And he was the apple that the serpent wasn't supposed to bite. And the serpent bit every inch of him. And he's back under subjugation. So stop thinking that, oh, I'm going to pick Zionism. Zionism is going to save the world. You're seeing Zionism right now. You're seeing it right now. All right? You're seeing it while we still have guns. When the guns are gone, you're going to see the Holodomor all over again.
Mm. A lot of stuff being exposed. Randy, come on in.
Yeah, brother.
Randy.
Coach, what you're doing, you're tearing down 150 years of John Darby and C.I. Schofield teachings that's hijacked the Christian worldview for the former 1800 and some years. And, Coach, you're creating a team again who can see that at the future, we're not futurists. We're not escapists. We're realists. We're doers. We're beers. We're kingdom people. And we're pushing a kingdom. We're still advancing the kingdom. It's forever, Coach.
Amen.
It's never going away. And that lie, Coach, all you're doing, you're just tearing down 150 years of lies, and people are realizing it.
So, Randy, so here's the thing.
Sense, Coach.
I don't care if you're a Zionist. I don't care if you're a pre-tribber or post-tribber. Why the hell, pardon me, can't we lock arms and fight? Why can't we do that? But we're not doing that, friends. We are separating over theology that we don't even know whether it's true or not. We don't know. But we do know this. There's a devil loose, and he's destroying everything righteous. And we ought to lock arms and fight against it. I think that honors our Lord to do that. I don't care what your end time theology is. I don't care if you think the rapture's coming tomorrow. You're still on my team. Let's fight.
Amen.
But we don't. Come on in, Pastor.
Amen. Good morning, guys. Hey, just a couple points. Craig, I'm right with you as far as with Coach. Years ago, I told Coach, when he was getting hammered, I said, Coach, I like the way you do it better than the way they don't.
Amen.
And the bottom line is that's it. And here's the thing, the church, and sometimes I know people training. I shared this with you, Coach, the other day. A lot of people want to live or train where they want to be instead of playing and training where they're at. They want, you know, when you train, you're trying, you know, a lot of guys will come in, they want to train, they want to try to do all these things they see on YouTube and this and this and this. Well, I want to do this exercise. Well, dude, you can't do one freaking sit up. You got to train where you're at. We got to live where we're at. That's wherever you're at. There you are. That's where you start. It's the beginning. Don't let it be one day. Today is day one.
Amen.
And that's where we have to start. That's in that play. Some kids may not even get woke up until that guy across the line from them smacks them in the mouth. We better step it up. And that is what you do, Coach. Is you.
That's what I'm trying to do. You're breaking up, Tom. You're breaking up, man. Gary Dunlap says that's because beliefs have consequences. Beliefs have consequences, friends. Beliefs have consequences. Amen, Tom. I had something profound I was going to say, and it got away from me. Hey, listen, if you believe the end is about to come, you ought to be working twice as hard. You ought to be sacrificing twice as hard. You ought to be out there preaching twice as hard. You ought to be arguing and pushing back twice as hard if you believe the end is near. And that's always been my biggest problem with the we win in the end crowd is they don't do a damn thing now. They don't do anything now. We have to. Kevin, come on in. Then Luann, then Rich, then Reggie. Hey,
hang on just a second,
Kevin. Can we still be friends? Are you going to go pout all, suck your thumb because Coach didn't agree with your theology? Is that really how this works? Is this how this team plays? Go ahead.
We can still be together.
Go ahead.
Amen.
I just want to say, Coach, you know, we got to remember that our sister Chanel or Michelle is over there in South Africa, and she's got a whole different world she's dealing with over there than we do here.
That's true.
And
that's
she, unfortunately, she does have some of that Darwinism, that the Darby, the Schofield, that those things that have been entrenched in her for decades that she's going to have to clean out. But I can tell you this, the way we fight is just determined by the courage that's in us. All we have to do is start making a stand. Go to that school board, go to that city council meeting, go to those commissioner meetings, go and speak. You have encouraged me to do that. And I have now the authority of the Lord with me every time I go to one of these places because these people are beginning to be afraid of me. That's nice to see.
Yes. They listen Amen, to
me.
Kevin.
They
so
hear me, and I'm making waves. I don't have to take my gun, but I'm going to tell you this. I will never give up my gun. I'm going to, if it requires me to be that mean, that terrible, that nasty guy, I will become that nasty guy, but I'm going to be the nice guy right now, just making the stand. And that's what you've encouraged me to do. And I appreciate you for doing that, sir.
Thank you. So folks, listen to this. The heroes of this, I don't want to call it movement, this heroes of this reformation that we're in, you don't even know their names yet. You don't even know who they are. Because God is right now raising them up. Preparing them, putting a team out there that they can lead. You don't even know who they are yet. We say Billy Graham and Franklin Graham and T.D. Jakes. They ain't it. They ain't it. They ain't it. The new ones aren't there yet. They're coming. They're coming. Because why? Because we're going to win. We're going to win. The Lord's not going to let his name be drugged through the mud like this. Come on, folks. It just isn't going to. Just isn't going to. Come on in, Rich. And Reggie.
Yeah, Dave, wouldn't you agree that Hebrews was written after the resurrection?
Say that again, Rich. I'm sorry, you broke up a second.
Wouldn't you understand that the book of Hebrews was written after the resurrection?
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So I would use I would go to Hebrews 11 and use those folks as my example that they were doing something in order for the community want to cut them in half and drag them and torture them. So and the Bible says they were fighting until the end. And hoping for that reward, but didn't get it.
In fact, it says at the end of it that they without us could not be made whole. In other words, yes. they're waiting on us to finish our race, man.
Yes.
This is an ever-expanding kingdom. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, the Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Hey, Silver, is that a lie? Huh? That's Isaiah 9. Pull that up there, Spencer. Listen, I don't want to argue theology. I'm arguing fight! Fight! That's what I'm arguing. I'm not arguing theology. Guys, you want to make it theology? Boy, oh boy, boy. There it is. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders. The government! The government shall be upon, he's the head, we're the body. The government shall be upon who? The shoulders, the body. The government is up to us. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. How do you handle that one, boys and girls? How do you handle that one? Come on in, Reggie.
Hey, I want to say two things. When you were reading in Matthew 24, I have some reference notes here at the bottom of my Bible.
By the way, Reggie, thanks for the Bible you sent me. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I know you like to read stuff. So Daniel 7, it refers to Daniel 7. So it kind of intertwines things that you were saying. It does connect. But the other thing I wanted to kind of say is you had put up Sun Tzu, the audio, because that's a great reference.
Oh, that's good.
People need to start studying. But Jamie Walden mentioned people getting bug out bags and leaving, but that's not actually how we're taught to fight. And it's kind of going to what Pastor Payne said. You learn how to fight on your home front and take back your area.
Folks, Reggie, that's Sun Tzu, right? Sun Tzu said, don't fight if you can't win. So when Jamie says, flee with your bug out bag, flee to get a position where you can win. Don't stand and defend something that you cannot win.
Amen.
It's so simple. It's so simple. There is a time to flee. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace, right? There is, right? Man, we're running out of time. Luann, come on in, then Jeff, then Dale.
All right, I'm here. I don't know what happened to my thing a while ago because I was up there.
Just go.
And it went all by itself.
Just go.
All right, anyway. For years, I've been hearing now's the time. Every time I go into prayer, deep prayer, it says now's the time to take it back. Yes, stand up and fight. Take it back.
Take it back.
When you go forth, don't look behind you. In Matthew, it says, if you look behind you, he has no need for you. When he calls you to do what you need to do it then. Don't worry what's behind you.
Move forward.
Go forward. Yes.
Amen. Come on, Jeff. Then Dale.
I was at a county commissioner's meeting. On the last comment and in the meeting, he went, a public comment adjourned. He did not want one to speak. That's what he did.
Dale.
Two comments real quick. This is by Derek Prince. The greatest single danger in this end time is not sickness, poverty, or COVID. It is deception.
Wow.
Then Luke chapter 2, verse 14, brother, the Hallmark card, glory to God in highest, and on earth, peace amongst people. And then they put a period. But in the scripture, it says, because people are deceived, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace amongst men whom he is pleased with. Question is God pleased with us?
All right.
Amen. Man.
There should be no peace for the unrighteous, folks. No peace for the unrighteous. Sorry. He's the Prince of Peace. Myra. I can't hear you, dear.
Good morning, Saints. How you doing? Coach, I agree. It's not the end. You're right on target. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen. Your end could be tomorrow, but it's not the end. My end could be tomorrow, but it's not the end. It's my end, right? And this idea, we've got to get it. Listen, it could happen, but right. to stake all of our battle plan on retreat and escapism, boys and girls, that ain't much of a battle plan. And unfortunately, whether or not we want to face up to it, the truth of the matter is rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, getting you out of here before the trouble hits is escapism. Now, it could be true. The Lord could be merciful and call us out of here. He could. And I'm not here to besmirch anybody that leans that way. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to tell you this. It's appointed unto man once to die. You got one time to die. What are you going to do before that one time to die shows up? Because nothing else matters. You are not in control of anything you do other than what you choose to do. And if we would understand that so much of what we do and what we don't do is influenced by things that simply are not factual. What if we get to heaven? What if I drop over dead tomorrow? I get up in heaven and the Lord unveils the school. Oh, that's a whole nother one. He unravels it all. And I look down and I see what I could have done. He said, Coach, you were right there. See here. Here's where you are, Coach, on the chart. It'd be like watching a big YouTube video of the world. And he puts it on pause. Says, here's where you are. Hey, Coach, here comes your part. Here comes your part. And they run the video, and I run behind a tree and hide. And the Lord said, why'd you do that, Coach? Why'd you run behind that tree and hide? Well, my pastor told me it was the end time. My pastor told me we win in the end. Oh, Coach, didn't you know that Matthew, I warned you, be not deceived? Didn't I warn you that? Don't be deceived. That's the enemy's greatest weapon. Joe Allen, then Roger, then Silver. Quickly, roll.
Coach, there's a reason why come out of her, my people's in the Bible.
There is.
Read what that says and take heed.
It's a religious system, Joe. Roger.
Is it too early to start thinking to do what we do after we win? Is it too early for that?
Yeah, you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch.
The game is sealed. We're going to win. When do you start getting ready for the next game and planning what we need to do for the takeover?
Well, listen, we're going to have a big party after this one. We'll have a big party after this victory. Huh? We're going to win and have a big party. Silver.
Coach, real quick, those who believe in the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whatever trib version you want, but we'll take pre-trib just for an example. Okay, when they see things that are talked of in Scripture that can't be happening in front of their eyes because they're still here, and it is happening, many will lose faith.
Boy, Joe, hey, Joe, listen. I think that the pre-trib is an Americanized gospel. There are people over in China losing their heads, people, Christians in Iraq losing their heads. Come on, man. Come on. Why didn't the Lord rapture them?
Mm-hmm.
We got to get in the game. God, I love doing this. I love doing this. I love making you think. I'm not trying to knock your props out from under you. I'm not trying to destroy your faith. I'm trying to get you to think, to be able to defend and justify your faith, to come along. Is some Christian in Nairobi, Kenya, who was tortured last night for his faith, does he have a right to stand before the Lord and say, God, how come you saved those Americans? You didn't help me out. Well, that's not going to happen. We got to get by this Americanized gospel, or we'll never save America. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.